Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. But today, we're going to talk about some intellectual freedom for you, the ability to complain. Complain about what? Complain about your life. Complain about your kid's life. Complain about your future, your past, whatever you want to complain about. And I start this talk off today with this conversation that if you get me alone, you know, when I'm not being a positively motivated individual, you find out that I've had just about everything go wrong with me, Every kind of illness you could have, I've had. Every kind of joint destruction I could have. I've been a powerlifter, a bodybuilder, an Olympic lifter since I was a little baby kid. And so I've worn out all my joints. Now my back hurts so bad, I pinched nerve in my back. I got bad knees, bad ankles, broken ankle. I got bad wrists. I mean, that's just the beginning of it. They cut my intestine out. I've had cancer and I've had staph. And at 64 years of age, I had only thought I'd live to 65. So there's my negative story for you. I've told the story 1,000 times. And every time I do, then something comes along like Mr. Peter Neerman. Peter's out of Phoenix, Arizona. Peter's going to share a story with you about how, as a young stud bodybuilder, he got injured and now he's paraplegic. And yet Peter is the most positive person I've ever met in my whole life. So I get really incensed by the fact that he's had it worse than I've had it, and yet he's more positive than I am. So what does that tell you about life? That we all are living our own little horror stories, but he's not. Mr. Peter Neerman from Phoenix, Arizona. Peter, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dal. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Sorry to set you up that way, Peter. I mean, it's like everywhere you go, you have to get set up with a negative, but you always come through and bring it to a positive. So share with people how you can be so positive after having, you know, the experiences you've gone through.
Well, I decided one day when I was woke up, I was in the hospital. I had just broken my neck. I was in Maui. I was on a vent. I was getting fed through a tube, and I couldn't move my arms or my legs. And I looked down, and at the end of the bed, I see a picture of my kids taped there. And I just decided then, you know, how really am I going to tell the rest of my story? Am I going to not do anything and be stuck in that bed, and that's going to be the best day that I've ever had, and it's going to just continue downhill from there? Or am I going to fight for every inch of progress that I can get and make this life the best that I can have? And I decided at that moment of clarity that that was kind of the direction I wanted to go. So I ended up in a great spinal cord injury rehab. They ended up weaning me off the vent. I was taught how to eat on my own again. And from there, I've done, you know, hours and hours of physical therapy and worked my way up. And I can move my right arm, and my left shoulder has quite a bit of movement now. No hands or anything. But, you know, eventually I taught myself how to drive. I have had three small children, and I'm a single dad, and I've raised them, and now they're two seniors and a junior in high school. And it's just one of those things. Every day I wake up, I make a conscious decision to fight the good fight, so to speak. I mean, I've met a lot of people that have it worse than me, and I decided that, you know, complaining and whining about my situation doesn't really change the outcome of anything, and if anything, it just makes everyone around you miserable. And that's not really the way I wanted to spend today. So I decided I'd do the best I could to make it a good day every day that I wake up. Because, you know, any day you wake up and someone's not doing compressions on your chest, that's a good day. Because I've had to go the other way, and it's not as good.
The concept of not being able to use your hands or your legs, your arms, your shoulders, or anything, and then being able to just move your arm, it's a phenomenal concept. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the fact that you've brought yourself all the way back from living in, by the way, people, he lives in a wheelchair. He has a super cool wheelchair. If you want to be ever want to be in a wheelchair, he's got the super cool. He's got his own vehicle that he can drive around in, but you still can't, you don't have control of your hands. You're just using the muscles in your arm and your shoulder, huh?
Yeah, I just use my bicep and my shoulders and gravity to manipulate my forearms and hands, and I type with a stick. So it's like the hunt and peck with your finger when you were a kid before you learned to type. And everything else, like my phone, is, you know, I control most of the stuff in my house with my phone. I can drive. You know, I spend, like you said, all day in the wheelchair, but I'm 90% independent. Once somebody gets me into my chair, I'm good to go for the day.
Wow. Now you're in this situation. You've fought back. You're fighting back, and which is really a psychological battle every day, I assume. Just got to be incredible, because I know the older I get, the battle gets tougher every day. And I'm laughing at me, not you, man. It's just like, oh, my gosh, it hurts more to do this, to do that. Da-da. So I see that. But at some point, you had to figure out how to survive and how to pay for your life. Tell us about that.
I woke up and I had been in rehab for quite a while, about 4 months, and I came home and life was different, obviously, and I ended up getting divorced, and then I'm sitting there and I'm looking at these three small children, and I've got a stack of bills that just keeps getting bigger, and a stack of money that, you know, just keeps getting smaller, and I'm like, okay, something's got to change, or else I'm never going to survive, and I'm not going to be able to raise my kids. And I didn't want that to happen. So, you know, ironically, I started listening to the radio because I had all this time on my hands. And I heard you on the radio, so I started paying attention. And I had been somewhat interested in real estate before. I was a critical care nurse before I got hurt. But I had bought a rent house on the side, and I would fix it up for a couple of years and let my sister live in it. And I definitely didn't do it the lifestyle's way. I mean, I didn't lose money, but looking back on it, I could have made so much more money. So I was listening to the radio, and I heard you, and I was super skeptical. And I ended up flying out to the expo in Texas just to look behind the curtain and prove to myself that, you know, it was a scam and that this wasn't real and it was some kind of marketing something. I don't know what I thought it was, but it definitely wasn't real. And I ended up meeting you in a bar in the hotel that first night. And I actually kind of bumped into you as you were getting a drink. And we ended up talking. And we talked for a while. And I went back to my table. And I was like, you're never going to believe this. I just met Dell. And he's like a normal person. He's like a real guy, not just some voice on the radio celebrity. So it kind of blew me away. And I think, you know, we talk about our aha moment. Strangely enough, that was kind of my aha moment, where I thought, there's no way this guy got all these people to have all these stories, and they're all lying. I mean, when I met you, I was just like, yeah, he's just too much of a real person. It was just strange to me. So that's how my journey and lifestyle kind of began. So,
well, it's a good story, and it was a good Manhattan that night, too. So it was a great time at the bar, a great time with you. We're going to take a short break now, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Peter about what it's like to raise kids as being a paraplegic. We'll be right back with Peter Nierman, the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Wamsley talks about finding that one thing that made sense for the lifestyle.
I looked at franchises. I looked at multi-level marketing. I looked at everything in the world.
But nothing made as much sense as buying one simple little rental property.
Real estate is your best option. Real estate makes sense. Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your first rental property. Join our live online free workshop to find out more. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Lifestyles Unlimited Executive Vice President, Business Consultant, and Successful Real Estate Investor Lynn Murrow on the critical difference between those who succeed and those who fail.
Whether you have a small business, whether you are running a division of a large corporation, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 100 company listening to us right now, or whether you work for somebody else, you have an area of responsibility and you are presented with a novel challenge by a novel virus that's going on right now. And the key to all of that is keeping your head up and looking for opportunity when what you want to do is curl up in a ball and go to sleep. And that is the critical difference between people who succeed right now and people who fail.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our business and provide for our families. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Peter Nierman out of Phoenix, Arizona. And Peter told a story earlier today that, you know, he was struck down with an injury when he was in Hawaii vacationing and broke his neck and became a paraplegic. And so he's had to learn how to do all the things that we do and we take for granted in his own way, shape, and form, the way he's done, you know, his own variety of doing it. I think it's interesting, Peter. I'm going to ask you a question I've never asked you before. It's a tough question. See how you pull out of this one. You know, you're very good at getting out of negative stuff. The first wife left you and you ended up with 3 kids. So how did you, as a paraplegic, win the battle to get 3 kids?
What happened was, it was the weirdest thing. It ended up being kind of a amicable divorce. It was one of those things where it just wasn't going to work, and it became so clear that there was no hard feelings. Just kind of, you go your way, I go my way, and I ended up, you know, it's just the way it worked out. And the kids ended up, no matter what, we put them first. And since I was always home, I ended up kind of being the one that did all the sporting events, all the school events. I took them on mission trips to Mexico to build houses for the homeless. And so I ended up kind of being the one that spent the majority of time with them in kind of the parenting mode. Not that she wasn't a good parent, because she put the kids first. Just, I had more time on my hands. She worked all the time. So that's how it kind of evolved. In doing that, I kind of feel, you know, blessed that I broke my neck, because I was a workaholic and I would never have time to really spend with my kids. And it just flipped on its head. I had all the time in the world to spend with my kids. And so after I met you and I started investing, I started buying single-family homes, and they started cash flowing. I didn't have to worry as much about, you know, where my money was going to come from or stuff like that. And I started to get more and more financial security. And so I was able to do more and more stuff with my kids. And once I started realizing that the financial freedom I was obtaining as my kids grew up, I started to try to teach them about money, because I was frustrated that the schools, they don't teach kids about money. They don't teach them how it works. If they're lucky, they get a 1-semester econ class as an elective if they choose to take it, which is insane to me, because it's one of the things that should be taught just basically in life, is how money works. But they don't teach them anything about it. It's just frustrating. So, weirdly enough, as a side note, COVID kind of gave me the opportunity, when my kids were at home doing online schooling, to put my money where my mouth is, so to speak. So I designed a class to teach my kids about money and real life. And it was kind of fun. My kids hated it, of course, especially at the beginning, but it's one of those things you just have to push through. And now they're getting ready to head off to college. I have two seniors and a junior, and it's led me to some more life realizations about college and doing research about that. And first of all, the cost is insane for what you get. If you did a cost-benefit ratio on what you pay for a college versus what you get out of it, it is insane to me how much money people are spending on college versus when they get out, now they've got debt and 40 years of working in front of them to get to the, whatever they call the retirement age now, I don't know, 65, 70, something like that. So they go this far into debt, not knowing what they're going to get when they get out, and end up working for 40 years. It just doesn't seem to make that much sense. And it was one of the things that was driving me nuts, because I follow a lot of stats about real estate and that kind of thing. They just started a multifamily education system at a lot of the colleges. And I found out, I just started to look into how much something like this would cost to send a kid to get a degree in, from a major university in multifamily education. And I picked states that I really like to vacation in. So I picked ASU, of course. That's $12,000 a year. So that's $48,000 in debt that you'd be to get out and start working for 40 years. And I picked Texas A&M. That's $18,900. But then I picked USC. And they have a master's in multifamily education. So you'd have to get your bachelor's first from them at $58,000 a year. And then you'd get your master's for $91,000 for 2 years. You'd end up spending $232,792 to get a master's in multifamily real estate, which is insane. So in 6 years, you get out $250,000 in debt to start working for 40 years. Or you could join Lifestyles and invest like half of that money and retire in 5 years if you did it right. That is insane to me. The logic just isn't there. So I was just blown away by this.
Well, I understand. And when we come back from the break, we're going to discuss the logic behind it, because I don't think there is any logic behind it. The concept that when you're talking about this cost-benefit analysis type thing you're talking about, how do you analyze the fact that you're $40,000, $100,000, $250,000 in debt compared to the fact that if you took that same money, you'd be making money from day one and making probably anywhere from $40,000 to $100,000 a year in income if you would have bought an apartment complex instead of bought into all that stuff. So the cost analysis is just incredible. I don't think anybody could even do it. And I know college people wouldn't, but here's what we were told when we grew up, you and I. If you have a high school degree, you'll make $40,000 a year. If you have 1 year of college, you make $50,000 a year. If you have 2 years of college, you make $60,000. All the way up to, if you have a master's degree, you'll make $70,000. If you have a doctorate degree, you'll make $80,000 or $90,000. You know, that was the concept. As a doctorate, you might make $90,000 to $100,000 a year. That was the theory behind this. And today, you get out of college and you can't even get a job. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with Peter Nierman, the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Del Wamsley talks about positive cash flow, tax-free.
I bought one little rent house. So a month later, I bought three more. Now I started receiving even more positive cash flow. $880 a month positive cash flow after just 2 months. This cash flow was tax-free because of the way I did it. Because if you know how to do it the right way, you won't pay taxes on that.
Give yourself a raise, tax-free. Find out how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online pre-workshop. Register today at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today is Peter Nierman out of Phoenix, Arizona. And Peter is telling the story today, if you've just tuned in, that he's a quadriplegic that didn't get that way by birth. He actually had an accident that created that problem for him. Yet he's had to live life like everybody else, and he's done it with a smile on his face and with positivity in his heart. And we're talking today about now being a parent and his kids coming of age for going to college. And Peter, I'm going to let you pick this up here because I don't understand it. I went to college and because my dad wanted me to go to college. My dad thought college was the secret. It's going to make the difference in my life. And I went to college, and what I found was is that 30% of the kids didn't show up to classes because it was the first time in their life they didn't have to go to an organized school where they had homeroom and they had, you know, door to door to door, somebody taking care of them. So 30% just sort of just blew it. Another 30% didn't study and just couldn't keep up. They would confirm on all that 60%, you know, smoked pot, went to parties and had a good time. And college was just really, it was the pre-retirement plan for, you know, here's your last chance before you go in the real world, just to go have a good time, spend a lot of money, your parents' money, you know, by going to college. And then there was, you know, 30% that were driven and they just worked day and night to get good grades. I was in the driven part, and what I found to be true was that it was almost disgusting how easy it was to pass the classes because nobody else even tried, so the curve was so skewed. So I quit and never looked back and never even ever once been asked at any job interview to see my transcripts. Never been asked anywhere, you know, anything about my college degree other than do you have 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever you have, blah, blah, blah. And I went out and made my millions without any school debt. I had no school debt. I worked my way through school. So now here you are. You're facing this and you've got three kids that are grown. They're all out there in the real world. People are telling them things to think. They have an opinion, and then there's you. So tell the story. Pick it up from there.
It's crazy. They're so two seniors and a junior in high school, and you know it is just expected without a doubt that everyone is going to college. Like all of their friends are going to college. It's all. I mean, it is like you're expected to go to high school now. Everyone is expected to go to college. And don't get me wrong, there is a certain percentage of kids that society as a whole needs to go to college because we need doctors, engineers, you know, professions like that where you do need, you know, years and years of advanced study to be the people that are going to lead us into the future in science and technology and stuff like that. But then there's the other half that go and spend 6 years and come out with a degree in English lit with a minor in French business. I don't know. And they're $60,000 in debt, and they're qualified to work at Fry's grocery store or Starbucks or something. It's frustrating to me. And as my kids have been, you know, told to go to school, I'm trying to educate them not to not go to school, but to look past the school and see why are you doing it? I mean, what do you think the outcome is going to be with the amount of money and time that you're investing in this project? It is truly a, what are you going to earn when you get on the other side? And I tried to encourage them to look past the college and see the result of the college. And that's not at all how it's looked at in the public schools, or I don't know if you want to call it the real world. Just go to college when you get out, then figure it out. And that's an insane thing. Give me $80,000 and we'll just figure it out in the end. That's not how real life works.
Peter, I'm going to argue the point with you. That is how real life works. That's how 90% of the people in this world deal with it. They just say, throw money at it, go to school, waste 4, 5, 6 years of your life, and then come out, and then we'll figure it out. It's all just, it's putting off the inevitable is what it's actually doing. And you say it's not real life. It's not real life to people like you and I who have made real life be successful. That it just doesn't work the same way for 90% of the people out there. 90% of the people out there cling to a job.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, I think everybody wants the best for their kids. I mean, I think that's just a parenting thing. And it frustrates me when I feel like my kids aren't being taught what will truly make them successful and hopefully eventually happy. And I'm not saying that you know, money is going to fix everything, because it's not. But it sure doesn't hurt to have it, so you don't have to worry about it, and you can solve the other real life problems in your life. And so I feel like it's almost an injustice that the kids aren't being taught real life options. And if they're going to go to school and get out and just get a job, they could go get a certificate in a trade and probably be better off and not be anywhere near as in debt as someone that spends 6 years at a major university and then gets out and gets an hourly job. It doesn't make any sense. And to knock on universities even farther, I looked at some of these multifamily programs, and they're bragging that they have 3 full-time faculty members, or California State University has 2 full-time faculty members. I mean, I was just trying to think about it, and we have like 12 multifamily mentors alone that I could just call any of them if I had a question, and they would talk to me for however long until we could solve the problem. Or if they didn't have the exact answer, they would contact somebody else in Lifestyles and we would get the answer.
When you talk about numbers like that, we have 12 mentors. We also have 12 consultants, which are the operations experts.
Yeah.
And then think about this. What do you call the ambassadors? I call them TAs. They're teaching assistants, right? So you've got another 54 ambassadors in this group. Just, it's completely different. I never thought about numbers-wise, educational-wise, but you're right. You get more help, more touches, more people, more information. And I'm sure our information is 1,000 times better than the information at the college education level.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not even close. And the thing is, another thing that COVID brought us is we've become so efficient online that if you're one of those people that, you know, doesn't want to take classes and go in, you can do everything online now. You can even go to meetings and network online, which it's crazy to me how simple it is now to get an education through Lifestyles and to network. And now you can do it in person or online. And these universities offer 3 full-time faculty. I mean, try calling one of them on the phone and get them to spend an hour talking to you about your particular situation or difficulty. That is never going to happen at a university. It's insane to me.
I also wonder, and I am suspect of, what do they actually know? Are they just purely educational based? In other words, they took classes on this, or did they ever actually get out in the world, real world, and put businesses together?
Yeah, that's what I wonder also. I was actually talking to somebody about that yesterday. I'm like, do you think these people actually worked in the industry, or they just learned about the industry and now they teach it? I mean, I wonder if they've ever run an apartment complex or had single family homes and had to rent them out and go through the process of screening people. And
I guarantee you this, if they are professors, they've never owned an apartment complex. I can guarantee you that. I'm willing to take bets on that one, guys. Let's call around the country and find a guy that's a professor that actually owns something. It's hard to believe that could actually happen.
The part that bugs me is the part that, since our mentors are so open, I mean, you could, not even just our mentors, our members, you could go to a meeting and ask somebody else at the meeting, you know, hey, I'm having a problem doing whatever, you know, some plumbing problem or foundation problem or doing inspections. And they would come up with an answer, or 2 or 3 people that could get you the answer. And because everything's open.
All right, we're going to take a break now, Peter. We're coming into a break here. We're going to be right back with Peter Nierman, the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
My friends, how many of you out there right now believe you have a plan? I followed the conventional plan for years, and then the conventional plan blew up in my face. I wonder how many of you can relate to that exact same thing. The real question is, how many of you have actually figured out how to turn that thing around and make it happen?
Do you have a plan? Lifestyles Unlimited has one for you. It's worked for countless others. Retire in 5 years or less. Come learn more. Join us for our live online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Peter Nierman, which is a real estate investor out of Phoenix, Arizona. He's also one of our ambassadors out of Phoenix. As he shared his story with us today, he had an accident when he was younger, in his 20s, that rendered him a quadriplegic. Yet he still had to go out and figure out how to raise a family, support a family, and so forth. So he's here today sharing how he had gone through all these struggles we all go through, but he had to do it from wheelchair. And now we're at the point, Peter, where I'm going to ask you to disclose a more painful part of the story, and that is the Rule 1437B-7. No one will ever believe a thing you say once they've seen you without your clothes on, or familiarity breeds contempt. In other words, let's now hear how your children see this point of view. I mean, we've heard what you believe. We've heard what I believe. Let's hear what the kids are saying now, because, you know, you're no different. Doesn't matter. Take away the chair, you're still a parent, and they're talking to you like, Dad, come on, you know?
That's so funny that you say that, because I say, okay, guys, this is a life lesson. And the second that I say that, they roll their eyes. It's like, Dad, I know, passive income. It's, I swear to God, that is exactly how they are. I have twins, a boy and girl. And one is just driven to veterinary science. She's an animal lover, and that's the direction she's going to go in college. And, you know, I'm proud of her in that. I have my other son, who's always gotten great grades, and I'm proud of him, but, you know, he just is not interested in real estate. He's not interested at all. And I don't know if it's for that exact reason, because his dad does it and he has to hear about it all the time because, you know, I'm excited about it. I don't know if that's the reason, but it, you know, teenagers. When I was a teenager, you could not tell me anything. I left home at 16 because I had all the answers. I probably should have written those down because I don't even know the questions now, but you know, every time she...
Well, you know, I have to say this before we go on. I have to say, I'm actually happy with a kid who knows what they want to be. And to be something like a veterinarian, to be able to never work a day, because they say if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life, right? So if she can go do that and take care of animals and enjoy it and love it and have fun with it, and then that's great. Then college makes sense there. That actually makes sense to go get some information and a degree so you can be a vet, right? The other one,
exactly,
though, you just wonder, what's he going to pick? Does he have any idea at all?
No. You know, he really doesn't. He enjoys computers and that end of it, but he's not interested in writing code or being an engineer. So it's one of those things. I've given him all the information. Let's see what he decides with it, because I'm not the kind of parent that is going to force him to do something. I've told him, I've hopefully given him the life lessons, and we'll see. I think, I don't know for sure, but I think that once you get out in life and you start to struggle and you start to realize that, you know, it's not all a yacht trip and like reality TV, I think that once you realize life can be hard, that's when the life lessons hopefully kick in. I don't know. We'll see.
It's hard to say,
you know,
man.
It really is.
I played that game the same way with my daughter, let her be whatever she wanted to be. And what I found is she gravitated into being a bartender, where she could just do nothing but have fun by talking to people all day long, right? It was a great job for her because she liked to talk and she liked to be in the middle of things. So now she's found bodybuilding. So now she's a competitive bodybuilder and she's starting her own channel as a fitness model and an influencer. So you go, wow, there you go. I get paid to talk to people. And I'm thinking, well, I get paid to talk to people. Okay. All right. Maybe it's just a different format, right? I don't know. I can't tell.
Maybe it's just a format that's that we haven't directly caught up with yet. I don't know. But, you know, if she's making money and it's making her happy, let's see if, you know, maybe that's the new thing.
That's not making her that much money, buddy. I get it. That's the funny
That's
part.
The unfortunate part.
And I think that it has come to the point now, Peter, where people, children especially, kids, whatever, young adults, have come to the conclusion that this world is so bad. And I'm saying bad is just a generic word for the Democrats hate the Republicans, Republicans hate the Democrats. There's really no consensus to what the world's going to end up like. They just go, well, then screw it. Then what I'm going to do is I'm just going to have fun. And I think they've just come to the conclusion they want to live life whatever way they can to have the most enjoyment out of the here and now. Do you feel that at all?
I do. I think that a lot of times they don't say that out loud, but I definitely see that in some of the younger generation. And I think to myself, you know, I remember back when I would work jobs, you know, chef, front of the house manager, stuff like that, where you just work a ton of hours because you make cash the more you work. And you just live for today or that next tip or whatever. But I've learned that eventually, at some point, you're either going to pay the piper or you're going to be broke and miserable for a really long time. And that's, hard to be happy when you're just miserable.
I'm going to give you some insight here, buddy. Hope you don't fall out of your chair laughing. Buy more real estate because you're going to take care of their butt for the rest of their lives.
I hope not. I hope I've taught them enough that they can survive.
Hey, Peter, thanks for being on, and thanks for being an ambassador, and thanks for just being you, buddy, and bringing light to my dark life, because, like I said, I spend about 90% of my day complaining, and then when I think of you, it all just goes away. So thank you very much for being in my life. The rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just money. It's the quality of the lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.